listening to It's Confirmed with Tamio Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, happy Tuesday. Glad to see you all back again as we bring in the month of October for domestic violence recognition. I was going to have someone come on the show in regards to their own domestic violence situation. There's a lot of things concerning domestic violence moving forward. And I wanted to share my domestic violence story with you all, as I am a domestic violence victim and more so a survivor. And I have a friend that should be coming on that has known me for about 20 years, that endured this nightmare of what I went through some time ago in a marriage. I was married to a former Newark police officer, and he was violent to me at many times. And I was basically afraid to say anything to anyone. So I had to find an escape route out of that marriage. It was so bad in the very beginning, married to this gentleman, that I also witnessed domestic violence between his parents and got myself in a very bad situation as far as trying to intervene, his father abusing his mother. His father was also a Newark police officer at the time. And, you know, witnessing him handcuff her to a radiator and basically beat her to a pulp. And she was also afraid to say anything, but she escaped. She left him and she moved to another state. Congratulations to her for finally breaking free. And one day maybe she'll come out and she'll share her story. It's really sad that sometimes we go through these things and we become victims of real situations and we don't utilize the legal system to help bring justice for those that have abused us. And I wanted to share my story because I wanted everyone to know that you're not alone out there. You know, there is people such as yourself, as myself, that have endured this type of domestic violence from many people, you know, through the walks of life. It could be verbal, it could be physical, it could be any form of abuse where if someone is putting their hands on you and you don't know what to do about it at that particular time because they put the fear of God in you. And this gentleman that I was married to, that's how I was. I was basically put with the fear of God in me, you know, and I lost a lot of my value by staying in that particular marriage. By the way, he was terminated from the Newark Police Department due to, I won't exactly get into that part because that part of his life I would keep private just for who he is. And I don't know the final outcome of what happened with his appeal during that process. But I can tell you that I was a true victim. And I did not utilize resources as I should have. I basically lost out on a career that I could have had. I was about to enter a police academy at the time. And due to him falsifying a domestic violence call on me, I was actually relieved of my hire into the police academy at that particular time. So I lost a little bit of myself in the process of trying to prove that, he was the assailant in this particular marriage. It was so bad from the very beginning because it's like I married someone that I thought I knew that I really didn't know. It was a really bad situation, you know, and not only that, but I put a lot of my friends' lives in danger. I put my daughter, my oldest daughter's life in danger by being married to this gentleman. You know, my girlfriend that will come on and share some of the missing pieces to the puzzle of one incident that she was very privy to. It happened one night. We all went out and he told me he did not want to come because he was not feeling well. And I said, fine, I'm still going out with my friends. Little did I know he was pretending to be sick the whole entire night. Instead, he got dressed and he followed me. He followed me from the place we went to, the nightclub, from the nightclub to, at that time, it was called the East Orange Diner in East Orange, New Jersey. He followed me there. At that point, my girlfriend was looking out the window at the time and she says, wait a minute, isn't that your husband? And I said, wow, that is him. And then he comes inside. Mind you, he's on the job. So he comes inside the diner and then I hop from their table because I wanted to keep them safe because I knew the psychopath I was dealing with at that particular time. I left that table and went to a table and sat by myself and I yelled over to them, listen, you guys are not with me. I'm here alone. He walks into the diner. There's a mirror in front of me so I could see him walking down the aisle. He grabs me by my hair and he smacks me. Blood is everywhere. He busted my lip and my nose and he drugged me out of the diner by my hair. And at that particular time, my girlfriends wanted to get involved. And then the manager for the diner says, let me call the police. And I said, he is the police. And then he continuously drugged me down the stairs from the diner. It had to be about seven or eight stairs. And I had bruises on the back of my neck and my head. And he took me and threw me into a Lincoln Navigator that I had purchased for him for, it was his birthday. And I didn't know that the locks were screw off. So he screwed them off. So the lock was no longer there where I could pull it up and I could escape. The manager for the East Orange Diner ended up calling the police. And, you know, basically the police came, they saw me bloody, they asked me what was wrong. And I said nothing, because at that point, he has a weapon, the officer has a weapon. And I said, that's the last thing I need to be in the middle of is a shootout. Okay. And I basically told the officer I was fine. He wanted to know why was I bleeding. And I said, I am fine. The officer, therefore, got in his police car. He told him to let me out of the truck. And he said she can get out of the truck, but I'm not willing to give her any keys. So he took my keys in my bag and stuff. And I just said, I just want to just go. So he jumps in the truck. My husband at that time jumps in the truck and he says, guess what? If you open your mouth or call the cops again, I'm going to kill you here in this truck. At that point, I was totally lost and did not know what to do. The police turned on the siren as he came back. You know, he had pulled off and he came back and my ex-husband had the driver's door open. He steps out of the car. And, you know, I'm looking outside the door and I'm saying to myself, with no shoes on, mind you. I had no shoes on at this point, because through the middle of him threatening to murder me, he took my shoes. So at this point, I have no shoes on. The door is open because he gets out, he steps out. And, you know, I had to think fast. I had to think, what do I do? You know, and I knew that I had a girlfriend that didn't live too far from where I was at that particular time. And
hello.
At that particular time, by the way, guess what? She's on, so I'll let her tell this story. Hi, Brooklyn. How are you?
How are you?
I'm fine. I was just informing my callers that, well, my listeners, that you were going to call in and we were going to pick up the pieces of what happened that night. Had to be the year of 1996.
Sounds about right.
Do you remember when I came to your house in the pouring rain? You know, I'll let you tell the story. I just gave them the recap of me actually escaping at that point with no shoes.
Right. I remember that. Like yesterday, I was in the house with my kids and you called me in a panic. And I was like, what's wrong? What's wrong? He's like, Meekna, Meekna, Meekna. And the phone went dead. And then I hear a bang at my door. And I'm like, who is this at my door? And I go to the door. And you running in the house like, me, he's coming, he's coming. Close the door, close. Ah, who's coming? So, you know, I went to go in my closet because who this is coming? And who they coming to get my friend? And you explained to me what happened, you know. And I was like, no. We need to get you calm, relax you. I looked down, you ain't have no shoes on. And you told me, you know, how you had to escape and get out of the situation because you felt like your life was in danger. And I, at that point, it was so surreal because you really never know what to do until you're in that moment. And at that moment, only thing I kept thinking about was how I can help you, how I can protect you.
Well, do you remember when you got the phone call from our mutual friend, Aisha, and she said, listen, he basically backhanded her and blood was everywhere.
In the restaurant.
Yes, the East Orange Diner.
Yes, I remember. I remember. I remember. And I was going to come up there and you said no because it's too dangerous. Just, you know, we called the cops already and I didn't, you know, that type of situation. How do you call the cops on a cop?
Right. So it's been some time that has passed. And we, you know, my friends, including yourself, said, listen, why are you still in this marriage? Like, why don't you get out?
Absolutely. No one deserves to be treated that way or to be, you know, going through any type of domestic violence. No one has the upper hand or the right to put their hands on anyone just in general. You have no right to put your hands on nobody, especially a man hitting a woman.
Now, we've been friends since your daughter was 6 months old. And how old is she now?
Actually, she just turned 27 today.
Wow. And we've been friends for a very, very long time.
Right.
And
it's
ironic how we met. You know, tell them how we met.
So I was a young mother, 25, out looking for an apartment. And I went to an apartment building and she was the manager and she helped me out. Hooked me up. I was able to have a home, a roof over my head for my child. And I was out and I was actually looking for my daughter's shoe because she had lost her shoe. I had just bought her a brand new pair of walking shoes. And you said, she doesn't have but one shoe on. So you and I both looking for the shoe, looking for the shoe. Today, still never found that shoe. And our friendship began at that moment.
And, you know, I never asked you many years ago, how did you feel about me inviting you into my domestic violence situation? Because not only did I jeopardize my life, but I jeopardized your life, our group of friends that could have gotten hurt from this domestic violence situation. So I never got a chance to ask you, how did you feel being my friend, knowing that I was dealing with an abusive, not only person, but an abusive Newark police officer?
So I didn't feel any kind of way about you coming to me for help, because that's what friends do. But I did feel some kind of way that you were in that situation, and I had no idea that the situation was that deep. And, you know, we all think because it's a police officer, you know, we're not going to be in these type of situations. You know, they're not going to jeopardize their lives, their livelihood, their work, their reputation. But you have some people that just don't care. And, you know, they may have issues or what have you. But I didn't feel no type of way about helping you, you know, or you putting me in jeopardy, because my first thought was just try to get you whatever help you need and try to protect you.
And I know you remember this particular situation of me actually going home and him wanting to smell my underwear. And because I refused, he took my daughter, my oldest daughter, and he tied her up in the room until I came out of the bathroom. I had to lock myself in the bathroom. Do you remember that situation?
Very vaguely. I do.
And I believe all these years that have gone by, I do owe my oldest daughter a very sincere apology for having to even put her through that particular situation. Right. And then the other situation that you were privy to, I owned a lot of apartment buildings in East Orange, New Jersey, and woke up one day and I called you and said, he stripped my entire building.
Yeah, I remember that when he went in there taking stuff. You had just renovated a lot of the apartments, and he went in there and just started vandalizing and doing all type of damage. I remember that. That I remember. That was crazy.
So I'm like, you know, wanting people to know that I'm also a domestic violence victim, you know, and my friends had to sit back and I had to invite them in to my craziness, and my friends never left my side because they were like yourself. You were afraid for me.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Down to me dyeing my hair red to try to, you know, change my identity because I didn't want him to notice me.
Right.
You know, and involving you guys into so much, and it was so much I still never told because I was a bit ashamed, because everyone that knows me, they know I'm a strong woman.
Absolutely.
Like, how could you let this man abuse you and you not say anything about it?
No one deserves to go through domestic violence at all, men or women. It was a scary situation. You know, it was many years ago, but talking about it right now seems like yesterday. Seems like yesterday.
And all I can remember is the look on your face when you seen my face and you looked down at my feet and you saw I had no shoes. How far do you think the East Orange Diner was from your location at that time?
Oh, about 10 to 15 minutes.
And would you believe I ran all the way to your house barefoot?
with no shoes.
With
no shoes, no nothing, no pocketbook, no phone, no nothing.
All I could think about at that time was, who is able to help me? Who could save me?
Wow.
And Brooklyn, I'd like to thank you for coming on today. And hopefully I could get you back on the show.
You're very welcome. You know, I'm sorry that you had to go through that, but today is a different day, and you're much stronger, and you're better, and you're in a better marriage, and I'm happy for you. And I'll be glad to come on anytime.
Thank you, Brooklyn.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
And have a good day.
You too.
Bye-bye. Well, you heard from my friend, and basically, it was a very horrifying situation for me, because that's a 10 to 15 minute drive in a car. It's 10 to 15 minutes when you're running and you're out here fighting for your dear life. It's a very harsh thing to entertain. I remember sharing with my ex-husband at that particular time that, because he always wanted to meet my family, and I knew that he would never be accepted into my family because my family is from the Dominican Republic. My mom, born and raised there. My dad, born and raised there. My mom with citizenship, my dad without. He still lives in San Pedro, Dominican Republic. And I knew this type of man would never be accepted by my father. At the time when I married this particular individual, my mother had already died from cancer. She had brain cancer, so she died from brain cancer. And I knew that I could never allow this man to ever meet my family members, ever. Like, I would never take him, like, he's never met anyone in my family. At the time, prior to me marrying him, I lived in Brooklyn, New York. Because as an immigrant, my mother came to New York City with the gentleman she married. And we lived on Park Place and 83rd Street. That's where I grew up as a kid. I came to the States when I was 9 years old. And I knew going forward that I could not allow this gentleman to be a part of my family because he would never be accepted. And for one thing, is that he was a different kind of person. He was a very violent person. So I was afraid not only for myself, but for my family members and also my friends that wanted to get involved at the time of this abuse once it was made public to them of this is what I'm going through. And he made that very public, you know, when he assaulted me in public in front of my friends at that East Orange Diner at that time. So, you know, it's very, very hard sometimes when I have to deal with cases during my workforce, you know, of abused victims. You know, I try to shut myself down from what I endured being in that abusive marriage. So I understand where a lot of women today are falling short being victims of their abused spouse. And this can go both ways. The gentleman could be being abused by the woman also. And when you have to put your hands on someone to use force and use your job as your shield of why you are doing certain things, such as abusing that individual, you shouldn't have that job. And I could have went to internal affairs, and I could have fried him. I could have fried him like they do people in the electric chair. But I did not want to hurt him the way that he was hurting me with physical abuse. It was also verbal abuse as well, but it was a lot of physical abuse. You know, I go back to the day of me running 10 to 15 minutes, it would be driving in a car, and I probably got there running with no shoes on. So can you imagine the condition of my feet? And I'll give you a little backstory to me with no shoes on. When I grew up in the Dominican Republic, it's a third world country, as many of you know, but we didn't have shoes. We didn't have that luxury. So many times I was barefoot. So I knew how to survive with no shoes, no sneakers. I knew how to survive. And that particular time when that car door opened and he stepped out, I saw that as an opportunity to run for my dear life. And through the storm, because it was storming that particular day when I was trying to get to safety, trying to get help, I just did not want to get the police involved because people have friends on the job and sometimes people get other people to cover up a lot of things. And I didn't want to, again, lose another opportunity of my life because I lost the first opportunity by not being accepted into the police academy due to the first domestic violence situation. So I saw so many other things going well for my life. Mind you, I was never charged with domestic violence either. But just having that particular situation back in 96, that actually excludes you from a lot. And it's a lot worse today, by the way. But having the opportunity to think back as a kid, how I used to run in the field, it's like I had a dying moment. You know, usually when people die, they have like a flashback of their life. And I felt like that flashback hit me. And when that door opened, I bolted like I was a track star. And I ran into the direction that I know would be the fastest to get to her house because I knew she was the closest that I could get to and get help. And no, she was my genuine friend, you know, for 27 years. So we have a lot of history. But I ran so fast, I forgot that I didn't know how to breathe. And that particular moment, when you're faced with death in front of you, you'll be surprised at what you can do. Let's take a commercial break. I'll be right back.
Are you looking forward to sell your house in Philadelphia at a fair price? But are just not patient enough to go through the long, delirious process of enlisting your house in the market? Well, look no further, because GBuys Philly has got your back. You can sell house in Philadelphia without going through the trouble of navigating complex sales procedures. We specialize in helping property owners just like yourself in all sorts of burdensome situations. We pay a fair cash price and save you all the stress and inconveniences of damages or repairs. We will buy your home fast, easy, and convenient. No commission to realtors, no home inspections. Cash deal equals no mortgages. Property as is, no repairs. 100% fair offer guaranteed. Sell your house fast for cash in Philadelphia. So what are you waiting for? Just contact us now at www.gbuysphilly.com. Experience, honesty, and integrity guaranteed. Remember, G Buys Philly.
Hey guys, I'm back. Yes. And, you know, back to when I actually bolted like a thief in the middle of the night and was running for my dear life, I found a huge garbage can and it smelled like dead people. You know, it was really a horrible experience. that I can recall, the scent of that garbage can, and even though this was 1996, I will never forget the smell of that garbage can. I jumped into that garbage can and I heard the tires screeching around the block, around the block. I heard him screaming my name. You can't hide. I'm going to find you. I heard those words from his mouth, and that is what kept me in that garbage can. And because, you know, when it rains, you hear the tire, the rubber from the wheels on the ground. And it was like every time I would hear, like, I knew which angle he was coming from, because when he turned the curb, I heard the screech. And I said, I can't get out of this can right now. If I get out, he's going to kill me. And that's how angry he was. It's like from the smell of the garbage, from the look in his eyes, from the tone of his voice, I'll never forget it until the day I die. Because he was really out to kill me. And that is the truth of the matter. And like I said, he was a Newark police officer. He was discharged due to fraudulent acts on his behalf. He lost his pension. So at this particular time, he felt like he had nothing to lose. And the only thing he felt like he could do was hurt me after that. And when he couldn't hurt me physically, I owned quite a few apartment buildings in East Orange, New Jersey at one time. He basically went into my buildings and the buildings that I renovated, those apartments my girlfriend spoke of. It was a 17-unit apartment building. He went in and he stripped everything I put in there. Later to find out, he actually used a plumber that was the mutual friend, but the plumber did not know that that was my particular building. And then I finally got the story. He said, oh, he told me this was his building and he was taking everything out of it. And that morning when I got to my building, because I got a phone call from the fire department that said water was coming out of the ground. And I said, how could this be? Everything's connected. When I got there, I knew it was vandalism done by him because he couldn't get to me. So he now wants to destroy my property. I went in and all of my plumbing was stripped out. All of my cabinets was gone. I didn't know what to say. I didn't know what to do. You know, it was very heartbreaking to see that this is, you know, something that someone would do to a person like me that's been really good to him. So in turn, what I did was I called a friend at the time who was, now this is how this story ends up. He turned out to be my former now ex-husband. And we share one child together, my 17-year-old. But I knew I had to get someone as tough as he was to protect me. So I married this guy knowing that he could save me from potentially getting killed by the crazy ex-husband Newark cop. So this is what I did. I married him. And at that point, it was more challenging because the crazy ex-husband Newark cop wanted to also challenge him, at, you know, at a machete fight, you know? And basically, at that time, things got crazy. And I thank goodness that my husband at that time was more responsible and said, hey, listen, I don't want to fight with you. You know, she's my wife now. Back off. So he finally left me alone. People always say I say that wrong. He left me alone. I think I'm supposed to say it like that. But at that point, it was like, it was really, really a tough situation. I had another girlfriend of mine that was going to come on today, but unfortunately she has to work late. But during this recognition month of domestic violence, I like her to come on and share with you some of the experiences that she's had with me in that particular marriage, being married to the ex-cop out of Newark. And we'll just call him the letter A, because that's the letter. That's his initial, A. So we'll call him A. And it was really bad this particular day, because my girlfriend, I was at her house. He followed me to her house. And mind you, as I told you before, I had to disguise myself. So I dyed my hair red, not thinking he would know what I look like. And basically, I'm about to cross the street and I hear an engine revving up. And I'm like, who is that revving an engine? And it was after the sun went down. And my girlfriend says, her name is Arlene, by the way. My girlfriend Arlene says, hurry up, run, it's him. So I get to the middle of the street as I'm locking my car door, and he tries to run me over with his car as I'm crossing the street to get to her house. And he yells out his window, I am not done with you yet. You are dead to me, and I will make sure I finish you. Those were his exact words, but that's why I wanted her on the show today so she can elaborate her feelings about that particular day. Because, mind you, this is a guy running around, Newark police officer, with a gun, threatening to kill me because I no longer wanted him as a husband. And the situation with him tying my daughter up in the room because I wouldn't let him smell my underwear because I was out 5 minutes later than I was supposed to be. This was very tormenting. This was a very challenging marriage. And I've been getting some messages while I'm on the show, by the way. And someone wants to know, well, why did you stay? And I'll tell you this. I thought I could make him better. As crazy as that sounds, I thought I could make him better. I thought if I gave him the love and affection that he missed as a child and try to help him through his own abuse of his own, I felt as though his abuse as a child from what his father endured on him, as his dad being a Newark police officer, which he was also terminated. And mind you, I was married into a family of police officers. His brother was also a police officer. And his brother couldn't take the pressure anymore. And his brother was very young. He was a young police officer. He ended up taking his own life a few years ago. This was due to ongoing, abuse that he endured as a kid. And then as he got older, he endured more abuse from an abusive baby's mother. And he went through this until he reached his breaking point and he committed suicide. He killed himself. And, a lot of people don't know my story and me coming forward about domestic violence. And I must say that I am a proud victim, and I'm very proud to be alive today to tell this story of how I was kicked around like a dog. I jumped in that can, and I thought about surviving. I really thought my life was over that particular day. I knew in my heart that he was going to kill me. And this may even be for some other women of domestic violence. You know, and this story of mine that I have to tell and I have to share, you know, because one day justice will be served for what has happened to me also. You know, people don't believe that you can be a victim, you know, because you stand strong. But I've been a victim, and I'm hoping that I can reach someone else out there today that has been a victim, where they can get it off of their chest. Because this particular situation is not even a situation that my husband before, the husband that I'm married to now, is even aware of. Nor have I ever mentioned that name, A, to my current husband, because I believe I was a little too ashamed, because my husband that I have today, he looks up to me and he values me. And I feel very safe knowing that I'm not with an abuser. You know, I feel good knowing that I'm with someone that can be trusted. I don't have to worry about my daughter getting tied in a room and possibly something happening to her because something mentally is not right with that individual. I could say that we're safe. And I feel like I'm safe now. And that particular ex-husband, A, the Newark police officer, well, ex-Newark police officer, you know, if he's listening in today, I would like him to hear it from my mouth. I survived. I survived the abuse at your hands that you gave to me. And I want the world to know that just because they wear a badge, it doesn't mean that they're a good person. And this is what I had to learn. And after all I've been through, I managed to survive. I managed to smile. I managed to not let the abuse hurt and damage me, where I could be a damaged individual mentally from the abuse of one who was abused himself. And I'm very proud to say that the job that I have today, I hold my head up high, and I'm a very honorable person. And I make sure that I do what's right for people who are done wrong at the hands of others, be it law enforcement or not. I make sure that I always do the right thing, because I have been a victim of domestic violence. And as bad as it hurts to say some of the things that I've had to say today, I've managed not to shed a tear or even whimper. I've managed to hold my head up high, speak clearly, and tell you the truth of what I've been through as a domestic violence victim. And a lot of people still will not tell you what they've been through because they are afraid and they are ashamed that they would even allow themselves to be put in that predicament to be abused by anyone. And I'd like to say, you know, I thank all listeners for listening on today. I'd like to thank my friend Brooklyn for coming on today, always being very supportive of me through that particular marriage and escaping that marriage. There was a few questions that came in that I will have to address at another time, more than likely on the next show. But I'd like to thank everybody for listening in today. And I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm just looking for awareness. And maybe it's not you. Maybe you can help save someone like my friend saved me. Because if it wasn't for her opening that door, I would not be here today. And I'm very proud to be in the United States of America, despite growing up with no shoes and no sneakers, utilizing my values of what I've been through as a kid to help save my own life today. I thank you all for joining in today, and I look forward to you coming back next week. We'll have good things coming forward for Domestic Violence Recognition Month. I do have a ring to give away to a lucky gentleman that wants to be very supportive. There's lots of, you hear that ding, it's a lot of incoming messages right now that I will be able to address more than likely after the show or on the next show. Because people have a lot of questions for me. So I always like to get down to the questions and give you answers as well. I like to say a special thanks to Attorney Funt, the Funt Law Firm out of Philadelphia. Attorney Coleman, thank you for being who you are. Prosecutor Batta out of New Jersey, great guy. Judge Williams, thank you also. And all of my fellow colleagues out there who are currently battling domestic violence cases, I just want to know that you are valued and you are appreciated. And I look forward to seeing you all back again. Same bat time, same bat place. Have a good evening. Tommy Torres signing off.
You're listening to It's Confirmed with Tomiko Torres, only on LA Talk Radio.